Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power. And the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Let's pray. Father, Your truth rings out, speaks to our hearts, gives us joy. We leap, Lord, the opportunity as a deer would that panteth for the water brook. Lord, we do. We pant for You. Our desire is to be everything that You want us to be. Submission to Your Spirit. So Lord, we just pray as we open Your Word, we pray our hearts be open to receive what You would speak to us, but also what You want to reveal to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuses. I don't know how you are with excuses. I know when I was working with my dad, it was for us boys, and the two older brothers, they always made it on time. They lived closer to the shop. My brother, younger brother, and I, we lived right next door to each other. And it was probably as a crow flew 10 to 15 miles, which to you is not very far, but in California time, that's about 30 minutes of driving if the traffic isn't too bad. So my brother and I, of course, being the younger ones and probably more ignorant than our older brothers who seemed to have it together, would leave right either 2, 3, 4 minutes past the time we should have. So now we're behind schedule. Now, if you think we're carpooling, of course not. This is California. You have to drive your own vehicle. It's just what you did. So it was actually, if you will, a race within the limits of the law. But it was California driving, which you knew how to cut off certain drivers at certain times, what shortcuts to take, when to take them. And it was a race. Why? Because the last one there would also get to the look of my father. My father was funny. Because, like I said before, he was a manly man. And to him, there were no excuses. But Dad, the traffic was terrible. That's right. That's why you leave earlier. But Dad, I had a flat tire. That's why you leave even earlier. And my dad did. My dad had to be at work at 8. He was leaving at least to get there 15, 20 minutes early. Oh, my brother and I, it took us a while to learn such a lesson. But see, excuses have been going on for years, and we'll talk about that part in a second. But here's some hilarious excuses about missing work. Stuck in a blood pressure machine. An employee claimed he couldn't come to work because he got stuck in the blood pressure machine at a grocery store and couldn't get out. Accidental plane ride. An employee reported that she accidentally got on a plane and couldn't make it to work. Fish emergency. An employee refused to come to work because his fish was unwell and needed his attention. Glued doors. An employee claimed that someone glued her doors and windows shut, preventing her from leaving the house. Fortune teller warning. One employee said his fortune teller advised him not to leave the house or he would suffer a brain hemorrhage. Bizarre animal encounters. An employee reported that a chicken attacked his mother, which required his immediate attention. Spider-Man to the rescue. Another claimed he had issues that Spider-Man was coming over to solve. Whoa, I think twice about having that person continue in employment. lucky night. An employee said he had a lucky night and didn't know where he was in the morning. I don't know if that was so lucky. Duck bite. An employee claimed she was bitten by a duck and needed to recover at home. Other ones, I woke up in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it. My dog asked me to stay home. I fell over in the shower and knocked myself out. I shouldn't laugh at that one because that's getting closer to reality. Now, that's nothing new. I want you to know that there was a recently discovered 32,000-year-old Egyptian tablet. It, too, had excuses that ancient Egyptians would use for skipping the day. Some of them we cannot truly understand. For example, one man missed work because he was mummifying his mother. Others, stung by a scorpion, collecting stones for a scribe, busy giving an offering to the god. More relatable Egyptian ones, including, well, I don't know how this would be relatable, brewing beer. Couldn't come because I'm brewing beer. Now this one, got to be careful. I'll tread lightly and then duck. My wife had her period. Egyptian. Anyway, moving right along from that one. I probably should have skipped that one. Sometimes you just got to go with it and think through there, Luke. And I didn't that time. But as we start off, keep that in mind. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He commanded them and ordered them, told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which is being baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now, in our previous message, we talked about Jesus already breathing on them, receiving the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Remember, this was to baptize them in Christ, making them born again. It was sealing them for God, but also indwelling them. Now, here we have, again, a separate action. Remember, we talked about this. Jesus spoke to them. He says, the Holy Spirit is with you, para, but then he'll be in you. But now we're talking about upon you. But you receive a statement of fact. Power. Dunamis. Where we get the word dynamite, but let's not just think explosive. It means strength and ability to do. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, epe. Why? Don't miss this. So you will be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, I like the way one commentary explains this. So let's look at what they say. First of all, that word witness is the basic Greek martis, means one who avows what he has seen, heard, or knows. Our word martyr comes from the same root, denoting someone who bears testimony for another person or some cause with his death. That has happened to many Christians through the years. We must be ready and willing to pay the ultimate cost, but we should not miss the more applicable usages for our lives. We are to die to ourselves, and our control of our privacy and schedules become available to share by life and action what Christ means to us and can mean to others. Excuse me. The dynamic power of the Holy Spirit will be given in constant flow as long as we are engaged in communicating. We are to be conduits of channels, not reservoirs or holding tanks. A flowing river flowing itself. A swamp has inlets, but no outflow. The Dead Sea is used often as an example. Fish can live by the mouth of the Jordan going into the Dead Sea, but if they go just a few yards into the Dead Sea, they die. Our lives become dull and dreary as Christians if all we do is take an inspiration from the study of the Bible, worship and preaching, an endless round of classes taught by stirring teachers. Application is not mandated. The Holy Spirit's power is given for witness. Meaning, it's not for trinkets, it's not for anything else, but for you and I to experience something. To experience what, you may ask? The call to be a witness, another writer says, that makes us Spirit-empowered ambassadors whose lives and ministries are extensions of the Spirit. Empowered life and ministry of Jesus through the Spirit. We have met Him, we know Him, we live by Him, with Him, in Him, and for Him. And it's all about Him. How empowered are you this morning? How much, again, the question will be, do you want to be? But why upon Epi? Why? Why this separate account? Now, I mean, again, there's a lot of different teachings on this. I just want to simplify it and just go to the Word. Because I truly believe there's a purpose and reason for this. We just spoke and sang of something, and again, I'll bring that back to your attention, just to whet your thoughts and appetites of what I may say. But I want you to take note of these three things. It's important for us to take note of. First of all, back when Solomon dedicated the temple, it says in 1 Kings, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Taking that to note then, the word filling means fullness, abundance, to consecrate. So when the Holy Spirit came upon the temple, it did these things. It filled the house. Came upon the house and filled it. For what purpose? For the glory of God. Representing what? His presence. Okay? So it filled that temple, that box, bring glory to God and to reveal His presence. The next thing I want you to take note of is when Jesus was baptized. Mark says it this way, and immediately coming out from the water, he, John, saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That word parting means to split or to tear open. Again, upon epi. Now, John the Baptist goes on to say, John the Baptist says, "I did not know him, Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So again, what does it mean? It means His presence for God's glory, but it's also identifying. That word remaining means to abide, to be held, to be kept continually. For again, whose glory? In this instance, God the Father and the Son. Not your glory. Not for you to stand up and look at me. And that's where we miss out so many times. In fact, because of that, because of how it's been neglected and how it's been actually abused, people are afraid to really understand what it means to be, if you will, whatever terminology you would like to use, baptized or filled with the Spirit. The bottom line is we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, the last I want you to take note of is what we just went through. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Well, we're going to jump ahead here, and not too far. But still, when they were up in the upper room in Pentecost, it says in chapter 2, verse 3, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled, all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." So here again, what do we have? We have upon, filled, furnished, full, abundance. For what? Abundance with power to witness glorifying God for His wonderful works, we learn in verse 11 down further. They're like, what does all this mean? What are they doing? Why are they praising and speaking in tongues the wonderful works of God? Again, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the glory of God. It's for His work. It's for His testimony. It's for us to witness and verify what we have beheld and seen and experienced and what we know. How powerful and how wonderful that is if we take it in the way that it should be. Jesus said, Moses, surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So again, we're clarifying something here. Your answered prayers are lack of it? Whose glory is it for? What are you asking for? What am I asking for? Is it for His glory? Is it for His purpose? Is it to reveal the goodness of God, as we just sang? Or, sad to say, is it something just for us? For me? That's it. I need this. I want this. Now, what do all these have in common? It's for the glory of God revealed in His presence. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal God's presence to the believer, in the believer, through the believer, to make Jesus real near us, to us, and through us. For in Him, Paul says, we live and move and have our being. So what the Holy Spirit does is He comes upon us and manifests His presence with us, in us, through us. Imagine that before, you know, you kind of go poo-poo it. What would you be like? What would I be like if we had the conscious understanding that we are with God, God is with us, that wherever I walk, wherever I go, God's presence is with me? Well, then that what I would do then is I would begin to ask questions about where would He like me to go? What does He want me to do? What is it that He wants me to say? Where does He want me to watch? What does He want me to hear? What does He want? If Jesus is right next to me, if I'm walking with Jesus, then all of a sudden it's not just about me, it's about Him. What do You want of me, Lord, this day? Puts things in a different perspective, doesn't it? Having that awareness of God. Now, I will quote Tozer quite. Oh, man. I will quote Tozer twice. If you don't know who Tozer is, he's A.W. Tozer. He said this. He said, the Holy Spirit never enters a man and then lets him live, just like the world that hates God. That is the reason most people don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to live the way they want to live and to merely have the Holy Spirit as a bit of something extra. I tell you, that Holy Spirit will not be just an addition. The Holy Spirit must be Lord, or He will not come at all. Spell this out in capital letters. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not enthusiasm. He's not courage. He's not energy. He's not the personification of all good qualities. Actually, the Holy Spirit is not the personification of anything. He is a person, the same as you are a person, but not material substance. He has individuality. He is one being and not another. He has a will and intelligence. He has hearing. He has knowledge and sympathy and ability to love and to see and to think and to he can hear. He can speak. He desires. He can be grieved. He rejoices. He is a person. The Holy Spirit can communicate with you and can love you. He can be grieved when you resist and ignore Him. He can be quenched as any friend can be shut up if you turn on him. When He is in your home as a guest, of course, He will be hushed into hurt silence. If you wound Him, we can wound the Holy Spirit. It's interesting because, again, we try to understand the revelation of God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And there's a fault sometimes that we make Him too human. But there's also another fault, that understanding when Jesus came to this earth, we make Him too divine. And I don't mean fully, don't misunderstand me. What I mean is we just see Him holy. But He came for us to understand God's heart. He revealed God's heart. So in saying that, we understand something, that God can be grieved. Shortest, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, you know, Lazarus' funeral was Jesus wept. That means gut-wrenching weeping. That's God. Oh, it didn't take anything away from Him being God. He's God. But it reveals to us a side that we fully don't understand, that God does care. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force Himself. He's not going to say, look, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit whether you like it or not. Because what it is, again, let's get this straight. If you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit's in you. He's dwelling in you. You're sealed. But see, Christ came and says, I have come to give you life more abundantly. How? Watch me. Watch me. Because in me and through me, God's Spirit reigns. I have come to do my Father's will. The things that you see that I do, you can do also. But is it the Father's will that you desire? Or is it still my desire, my will, what I want, what I need? Is our Christianity, instead of life-changing, is it just a life security? That we go to Him every time that we need something, rather than the realization that God desires to manifest Himself and reveal Himself to us daily. Daily. So that we understand something, that the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about too later on, these things are what God desires to produce in us, but also for us to enjoy, to share. That I walk in God's love. That I walk in God's joy. That I walk in God's peace. God's peace. That God's gentle. God's kind. That God has self-control. And through these things, He desires for me to participate by allowing Him to work these things in and through me. It's not me manifesting it. It's not me budging it out. It's me dwelling in His presence. In His presence are all good things. Goodness and joy. These are the things that you desire. God says then, let me fill you to overflowing. All you have to do is ask. Now I know it. Is it a promise really to us? As we talked about, He says, wait until the promise of the Father. Well, of course it is. Not only because it says so in Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Throughout the church age, these promises are for us. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, for all the promises of God are in Him, Jesus, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For His glory. Again, not to give me warm fuzzies, not to give me the gifts that I desire, but just the truth of the matter is, He's saying, I give you me, overflowing. So you become that temple, but you're walking around as the glory, the Shekinah glory is through you. Not because of you, but because of the One who did everything for you. And all you can do is give glory to God. It's not like Moses, when Moses was in the presence of God, see, his face glowed. But then the glow would fade. So what he did, he put a veil on it. For the people, again, to understand that they would respect Moses, but also even more so understand this holy, wonderful God. But see, with us, it's an unveiled face. beholding the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image. It's the glory of God in and through each of us. The problem is, again, the question that we all have to ask is, do I really want God to shine through me? You say, I don't know, man. That could be a little embarrassing. Why are you glowing? Why are you different? I need to know. Please tell me, because I'm at the end of my rope. I want something more out of this life than what's here. There has to be something more real. There has to be more of a reality. Wait a minute. These are good things. What's the worst that could be called? A Jesus freak? A fanatic? That's a funny word. Fan, huh? We could be fanatic about the Huskers, can't we? Fanatic about sports teams. Fanatic about our favorite entertainer. Christ? I love what Tozer put. And if you know anything about Tozer, these words are authentic. He said, I want you to know where I stand. It's important. And I want to say it plainly. I want the presence of God Himself. Or I don't want anything to do at all with religion. You would never get me interested in the old maid social club with a little bit of Christianity thrown in to give it respectability. I want all that God has. I don't want any. I want God Himself, or else I will go out and be something other than a Christian. I think the Lord had something like this in mind when He said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or the other. So because you are lukewarm, they're neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That can't be us. Because we desire Him. I heard you singing. Because I was singing it too. See, in spirit and truth, to really worship God is to worship Him and what He has done and what He is doing in and through each of us. It's to be in His glory continually for His praise, His honor, and His witness. You and I are different, and we are witnesses to that. We know something different than this world does not understand, that the God that we worship is a real God. It's not something that we made up. It's not something that we have manufactured in our minds. No, He's a reality. You know that and I know that. But we still ask, when, why? Why? Why is He not working in the church like He used to? It's because, again, I bring to you a simple point. Do we really want this God to be in control of everything? Is He really the passion of our souls? Oh, the beauty of this is, and I will leave you with this, is He never rejects us. He never pushes us aside and says, it's not for you. It's for everyone. But even when we walk and we keep bumping into the same walls, stumble over the same stones, feel the same way, not change, but we do have this. We have Christ and He's in us. Our hope. What is that hope? Change. That what God desires to do in and through us is the same truth that He gave to His disciples. The epistles, Paul. Through everything that you hold in your lap, God is the God of promise and God cannot lie. What He has said, He declares to be true. What He has declared to be true, He will do. But He waits. He waits for us to come to a simple conclusion. If I cannot have God, then I want nothing. If I can't have what He wants in my life, then what's worth living? I want you and nothing more. I want you nothing less. I want you. I want you to be ruler of my life, keeper of my soul, power in my witness. To shine forth the reality of who you are. I will not give up until I have given up everything so that I can gain it all. You. Oh, I pray that's the heart of all of us. That you don't stop. That you've come to, again, to that place of saying, Lord, now, I lay it all before you. There's nothing else here I want in this world. I only want you. I give you my children. I give you my parents. I give you my career. I give you my plans. I give you what I think my purpose is. I give you my pleasures. I give you everything. And I'm not going to stop until it's a reality. So that you may shine forth and be glorified and give hope to a dying world. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, our hearts, we desire to be totally open to receive what your Spirit desires to do in and through each of us. Lord, we pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. We pray your Spirit would come upon us for your glory and that we'd walk in your glory and in your presence. Again, for your name's sake. For Jesus, who died and rose again and empowered with us with this truth. Lord, we thank you that life is more than what we understand. That there's so much more in our Christian walk than we could ever fathom. For you have said, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him and keep his commandments. Lord, I pray for this body. Oh, she may be small, but Lord, I pray that her heart would be true to you. That its desire is for you and you alone. That the leadership in this church would go forward in front of everyone of saying, God and no other. We can't have the Lord here in this place, then let's give it up. Let's stop meeting together. If he is not the sole purpose for our coming together, then what are we doing? Let this be a church body, Lord, that desires you more than anything else to be glorified in our midst. A meeting place that we all come together, rejoicing in the truth of not only of worship, spirit and truth, but also through your word and through fellowship and prayer, understanding that you are a God who has done it all for us. Thank you, Lord, for that I know that my fellow travelers desire the same as I do. Lord, I pray for those that are still holding on to things. I pray for, Lord, those that are holding on to pleasures, that they would lay it before you. Sin, that they would just throw it at your feet. Their careers, their plans, their dreams, everything, Lord, that would hold them back from truly pursuing and receiving everything that you have for them. The joy and the fellowship of you. So, Lord, I lift this up to you and I pray for my brothers and sisters that all of us can say amen to this. Because it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.